today. Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami ki namne. Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pachamne. Never say to anybody, it's the Buddha's time. So this morning we'll hear the second part, the second half of this pastime from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And yesterday we heard how Narada began his search for the devotee who had the most of the Lord's mercy. So I was just thinking during the kirtan that actually another way of saying the devotee who has the most of the Lord's mercy, which perhaps I will speak for myself when I think that somebody has the most of the Lord's mercy, I feel like he's given them the most. Do you sometimes feel like that also? If somebody has the most of the Lord's mercy, he would have given them the most? Yes, you understand what I mean? Because you give mercy. But actually, the devotee who has the most of the Lord's mercy is the devotee who pleases him the most. So this is what Narada was actually looking for. Which devotee pleases Krishna the most? And we've heard of different devotees on different levels of perfection. So it's not that any of these devotees are superior and inferior. It's not that we go around the room, for example, and we say, oh, this one pleases the Lord less, this one more, like this, like that. It's not like that. But what it is that the wholeheartedness of the love of a particular devotee draws Krishna's appreciation most. So that can be any devotee who wholeheartedly loves him, he will reciprocate with that. But this is what is a gift that Krishna can give us. He can give us the ability to love him. And how do we learn to love him? Does anyone know? By service and? What was that?
Chanting.
By chanting and?
Preaching.
And?
Loving his devotees.
Loving his devotees. Still one more.
Chant.
Think of him. And? To think of him. Before you think of him, what do you have to do?
Desire.
No. Hear about him. You have to hear about him. If you don't hear about him, so the desire is important, the preaching is important, the service is important. They're essential elements, like a cake. You can't say that the cake will work without the water or the oil or the flour. But the most essential thing to learn to love Krishna is to hear about him. How else can we learn to love him? It's the process that we use here in the material world. We use the same process. If somebody in a worldly relationship wants to know about another person in a worldly relationship, they want to find out more about them. They want to find out what they do, what they like, and they want to go places with them. They want to experience their quality. So in hearing about Krishna, because it's not a worldly relationship of love, we hear about Krishna. Then if we hear in our heart, we're fortunate enough that our heart is receptive, then very deeply these impressions can go into our heart and change us. Not like magic, like we go from here to here overnight. Not like magic, but powerful impressions can be impregnated in the consciousness that can lead to a great deal of change just by hearing. And then, of course, chanting. So we've heard that Narada's travels, he began in Prayag with this question, who has got the most of Krishna's mercy? And he traveled and traveled. He's been up and down and outside the universe as well. And here and there, he goes wherever he hears that somebody is very fortunate and they please the Lord. So finally, he has been told by the Pandavas, who are so great devotees of the Lord, that he comes and protects them. He puts them into difficulty to magnify for the whole world, so the whole world can see the quality of their love. He puts them into difficulty so that he can come personally and protect them. So that he can come to them, he puts them into difficulty. And we wouldn't like that. We would like it that he would make everything smooth and nice for us, and still he should come and take care of us as well, if we need him. If we don't need him, it's okay, we'll go on, and that's his blessing. But if we need him, he should come. But these devotees love him. They can't live without him. They're not interested in anything else, only in him. So for them, the only thing that is meaningful is to be with him. And they'll serve him anyway, and they'll meditate on him anyway. But they only want to be with him. And here we are, we're here in the material world, and we're genuinely in separation from him. 100% in separation from him. But we don't feel anything. We don't feel bad about that. We go about our daily life and we concern ourselves with various things. So this is why we need to hear about these devotees and their love. So now Narada has arrived in Dwarka. He went to the assembly hall. He glorified Ugrasena, the king. And Ugrasena was very humble and told him, actually, I haven't got the Lord's mercy. I'm so busy here managing the kingdom. I have no good fortune at all. But you should find Uddhava. And when you go to see Uddhava, remember, he's always with Krishna. So don't go to his house. He won't be there. He'll be where Krishna is. And he also said, tell Krishna to come immediately. He's late. So after hearing all of this, Narada, absorbed in love of Godhead, he took the road that led to where Krishna's inner chambers were, where his palace was. Now, he had been to Dwarka before many times, so he was familiar with Dwarka. And there was an amazing road that led to Krishna's palace. As the road approached the royal quarters, it assumed a bewildering appearance and took many unusual turns, making it a road ordinarily impossible for Narada Muni to follow. But somehow or other, under the spell of agitation, of love for Krishna, to see Krishna, actually not to see Krishna, to see Uddhava, Narada, in a kind of like a mad state, he was walking along this road automatically without even knowing where he was going. So this I found very extraordinary when I was reading this section of the Bhagavatamrita. There's a statement here that I found very profound. Narada was so in madness. If you or I became mad, we would feel very uncomfortable. We wouldn't like that very much. We would try to avoid that state and retain our position of sanity. But the fact is, however, that when one is conducted helplessly under the control of pure love of God, one actually understands everything perfectly. He certainly cannot forget the way to reach the personality of Godhead. So conducted by his love, Narada, in a mad state, he walked, and he walked towards the palace of Krishna. He was tripping and falling and standing up and trembling and crying and shouting and jumping up and down and singing and dancing, and tears were coming down from his eyes. And he looked like somebody who had a ghostly haunted appearance. So then Maharaj Purukit, who was telling this to his mother, he said, "Mother, now be fully attentive. Listen soberly with steady concentration." He said, "Please listen carefully so that the Lord's pastimes, which I am about to describe, will enchant her mind and awaken her ecstatic love." This is about This is a comment. He knows from his own experience that the insanity of love of Krishna is in fact the most natural condition of the soul. And that devotees who are infected with this insanity are more sober and more in touch with reality than anyone else. So he tells his mother, pay attention. I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. So Uddhava enters the palace of Krishna. Krishna is in his bedroom. Out on the terrace, on the veranda, is Uddhava and also Devaki and so many of Krishna's queens. And they are all sitting together and they are quite concerned. They're sitting like this with one very elderly lady, Padmavati. Now, Padmavati is the wife of Ugrasena. She's also the mother of Kamsa. And she's a little senile. We may think, how could someone be senile in the spiritual world? Well, this is for Krishna's pastime Leela. There has to be all kinds of flavors. So Padmavati is there, and she's always sort of talkative and gossipy and a little bit like that. She's sitting there. They're all discussing together, and they're all very shocked when they see Narada coming in this extraordinary state of ecstasy. So Uddhava immediately, he jumps up, and he grabs Narada. And he catches him, and Uddhava and Narada is just saying, I want to meet Uddhava, I want to meet Uddhava. And he takes him very quickly and sits him down and seats Narada, who is grabbing for the feet dust of Uddhava. And then he starts saying, I want to see Uddhava, he's the greatest, greatest devotee, he's the Lord's favorite devotee. There's nobody who's dearer to Krishna than him. So when Uddhava hears this, he for a moment remembers some great devotees who he has met. And he closes his eyes. And he begins to cry. And then he becomes joyful. And then he speaks in a way as if he's a little jealous. He says, you are the master of bhakti, to Narada. All you say is true and evident. Everything you've said about me, being the greatest devotee, close to Krishna, everything else, everything you've said is true. But I have seen something. I have seen the amazing sweetness of Krishna's mercy. And the love for him that those who possess that love have. So I have seen something that has crushed all my pride in my possessions and my greatness, has been crushed to powder, seeing that. He explains then that this, what he has seen, of course, is the love of the Vrajavasis for Krishna, because Uddhava has been there. So when he speaks about this, Uddhava says to Narada, do not ask any more about this. Do not ask about this subject. It will not be auspicious, it will not be auspicious, it will bring undesirable circumstances if we speak about this anymore. But who can avoid speaking about the love of the residents of Vrindavan? So Uddhava prompts, Narada prompts Uddhava to speak more. And Rohini speaks up before Uddhava can. And remember, Rohini has also lived in Braj. She was there for, Balaram was a baby and grew up in Braj. She was there until Krishna left Vrindavan. And then Rohini also left Vrindavan and returned to Mathura. So Rohini said, please, don't speak on this subject of the residents of Vrindavan. And please understand, this is all their transcendental moods of ecstasy, and there's nothing material or selfish in anything that is spoken by these great devotees. So she says, I don't want to speak about them. They are drowning in gloom. Please don't remind me of them. When I left, the cries of Yasoda and the other women were like the cries of the living dead. They could have broken stones just to hear their crying when I was leaving. When I came here, I understood that they, without Krishna, had been cast adrift on an ocean of separation. And I'm not very intelligent. So I thought I should tell Krishna about this because he should hear what is their condition. So when I was alone with him, I told him the difficulty of the residents of Vrindavan. But he paid no regard. And then I told him, go back and see them, pacify them. But he sent you, Uddhava. So how can you say that he has given them the greatest mercy? When I was there, there were so many difficulties for them, and they paid no regard. They didn't care about any danger or difficulty to themselves. When Krishna was there, that was the only thing they cared about. And they never thought about themselves. He completely protected them. But now that he has come here, he has forgotten them. Now, Padmavati, who was listening to all of this, and she had her own view of everything, and she's sort of old and talkative and gossipy. So Padmavati says, well, why are you saying all these things about the residents of Vrindavan, that they're so special? Since their childhood, since his childhood, they forced him to go out and take care of their cows. They just fed him some milk substance, nothing substantial. They tied him up. He didn't even wear shoes. And he was always hungry. And then they all came and abused him. They criticized him. So they punished him. So what is the value of them? But Rohini, because she was very sober and deep, she totally ignored Padmavati. And she kept talking with the gravity of wisdom. She said, when Krishna went to Mathura, he killed many enemies, he got married, he became the king, he became honored by the demigods. He no longer even thinks of the residents of Vrindavan. In other words, he hardly even remembers his former life. Then Rukmini, who lives in the heart of the Lord, she found this unbearable to hear Rohini Devi saying this. So she said, you don't understand the softness of Krishna's heart at all. Please listen. During the night when he is asleep, he's calling the cows, or he's calling the gopis, or he's calling the cowherd boys. Sometimes in the night, he says, give me some butter. And sometimes he drenches his pillow in tears. Last night, he had a dream. And today, he is by himself weeping. He is pretending to be asleep. And he has covered his head with his blanket, and he is not willing to perform his morning duties. And then Satyabhama is very fiery. That is, her love for Krishna comes in that mood. So she spoke up and she said, what are you saying? You say that through the night he's thinking of the residents of Vrindavan? What about the day? He's always thinking about them. We're just like his maid servants. He thinks of them all the time. But there's no envy in their hearts. Then Baladev speaks up because he has seen the difficulties of the residents of Vrindavan. And so he says, ladies, this is nothing but my brother's deception. You are all very innocent. You are speaking of the grief of the residents of Vrindavan, but he is cheating you when he lets you think that he is caring for them. He is creating an illusion. I stayed in Braj for 2 months and I tried to restore the life of the people there. I gave them hundreds and hundreds of promises that Krishna would come. I even built houses so that when he would come, he could stay here, he could stay there, just to give them some hope. And then I came back. Finally I came back and I begged him, just go. Just go. Just go at once and save their lives. He said yes, but he didn't go. So in his heart he meant no. Truth is seen in action. Krishna is hearing this conversation, which has been stimulated by Narada. So Krishna gets up and comes out of his room, crying and crying and crying. And in a sad voice he says, it's true, my heart is hard. It has not yet split. They have cared for me, and I've forgotten their love. I must help them. I must help them. And then in great anxiety, he turns to Uddhava and he says to Uddhava, what should I do? Devaki becomes afraid because then she realizes that Uddhava could say, you must go back to Vrindavan and she will lose Krishna. So she says, you should give them what they want. Some way or another, she's hoping to placate them. But Krishna should not leave us. And then Padmavati speaks up and she says, well, she wants to change the mood. She wants to make a little humor. So she says, I have a good idea. My husband Ugrasena, with the help of Gargacharya, should add up a list of all the expenses that have been spent by those people in Braj over the time, the 11 years that Krishna was there. He should add up all the expenses and we should double it and we should pay it to them, because she's afraid that perhaps they're going to give them the kingdom or something. What do they want? And we'll pay that to them, and even if they don't pay back their expenses to us that would have been there, then that's all right. Nobody heard her. Krishna did not hear. He asked Uddhava again, what should I do? Now, interestingly enough, when he asked Uddhava like this, what should I do? You know them, he said. You know what they want. What do they desire? In the love that Uddhava was feeling, his discrimination failed him. Because Krishna was thinking, when he asked what do they desire, that if Uddhava says you should go back, then he can say, well, Uddhava said I should go back, I have to go back, everyone will accept it. But Uddhava thought that Krishna was saying, what do they want? Like, what should I give them? So Uddhava became very, very disturbed when he heard Krishna say that. And he said, they don't want anything. They don't want power or wealth or enjoyment. They don't desire anything else but you. Please listen and then act as you like. And then he begins to describe something very sad. When Nanda returned to Vrindavan without Krishna, when he took Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, he promised all the residents of Vrindavan he would bring him right back in a few days. But then when it was time to go back, when he arrived in Mathura for the wrestling match, Krishna and Balaram went off to see Vasudeva and Devaki and to kill Kamsa, and they didn't come back to the camp where Nanda and the other cowherd men were staying. And Nanda started to become very frightened. He wondered, what is Vasudeva telling my son? And eventually Krishna and Balaram came back, and Balaram said, Baba, they're telling us that we're the sons of Vasudeva, but we'll never believe that. And Krishna said, you're my father, you're my only father. And they sat, one on each side, on Nanda Maharaja's knee. And they spoke to him so many sweet words. And Krishna, he said, Balaram, you are the son of Vasudeva. But Krishna, you're my son. So Krishna should come back with me to Vrindavan. And Balaram said, if Krishna goes back to Vrindavan, I'll go back to Vrindavan too. And then Nanda was in great difficulty. He would become responsible for the death of his cousin brother Vasudeva if he took Balaram. So Krishna said, all right, I understand what should be done. I will just stay here for a few weeks with Balaram until he gets settled, and then I'll come back. And then Nanda Maharaj became quite hopeless because he understood that Krishna wanted to stay as well. And when it was time for him to leave, he was so distressed. And Krishna took off all of his ornaments and said, give these to the residents of Vrindavan as gifts on my behalf. And Nanda Maharaj was so unhappy to take them. So when he returned home, he gave the necklaces that Krishna had given to him to the residents of Vrindavan, and they cried and cried and cried. They thought, how painful. Krishna thinks that this is what we wanted. Some wealth, some ornaments. Damn us! Damn us! And they gave up all hope. Like dead people, they refused to eat at all and they began to fast without water. For 3 days, Nanda felt he had made such an offense that he went into his room and he didn't come out. He didn't speak to anyone, he didn't eat anything, he didn't drink anything. He was just thinking of Krishna. And then he came out and he told everybody he must come back. He's so truthful. He will come back. Be assured of this. He will definitely come. And then the residents of Vrindavan, who were so simple, they didn't have the power to think that Krishna could trick them. They put those ornaments around their necks, even though they were in so much distress, because they thought that when he comes back, he will see us wearing the gifts that he gave us, and that will make him happy. And so they put on those ornaments, and there they were, and he never came. Uddhava said, you never went. You never went, and then you sent me. And they almost died in disappointment. He said, you shattered their hopes. When I gave the letter that you said, just understand that I am everywhere, I am in all the elements, I am with you, everything. They just completely lost all hope that you would come. He said, Uddhava said, I stayed for so long, I promised them you would return. And for you they renounced all enjoyment and all shelter. Ask your elder brother what state they are in now. And then Balaram started to speak. And all the ladies became terrified that Krishna would leave. Devaki was crying, the queens were crying, their faces went pale, they didn't know what to say. And Krishna, in that condition, he said to Uddhava, give me a piece of paper and a pen. He couldn't even speak. He was so soft-hearted, he cannot bear to see his devotees suffer. So he took the pen And Uddhava saw what he was going to do. He was going to write a letter saying, soon I will return. And Uddhava saw this and he cried and he begged him. He said, oh master, turn your attention to them. Unless your lotus feet make a blessed journey to Vraj, there is no way to assure that your people will survive. They want nothing but your lotus feet. And Padmavati got involved. She laughed a little bit and she said, now I understand. I understand what's going on. Uddhava is controlled by those gopis. They've bribed him with milk products. They want to bring Krishna back to that dangerous forest full of thorns. They want to force him to take care of their cows. And Rohini could not tolerate this. And she said, mother, mother of Kamsa. Not a good name. Please, you should understand that they cannot bear to not see him for a second. What to speak of taking care of the cows. When he goes out to take care of the cows, all day they're like in a trance, just waiting. When will he come? They're looking at the moon, they're looking at the clouds, they're looking at the time, they don't have watches. And they're thinking, when will Krishna come back? And they're thinking how fortunate the trees are, how fortunate the birds are, because they're with Krishna now, and we're unfortunate. So day and night they're like that, said Rohini. She said, the grass, the animals, the birds, the trees, the peacocks, everybody, there is no need there to watch the cows. Everybody, all the animals, all the creatures, they're all just interested in pleasing Krishna. Padmavati said, you are too free with your words. If this is true, then why do we hear that all the cows in Vrindavan are dying because no one's taking care of them? And Sanatana Goswami is clever carefully to add, they appear to be dying. And he makes a point in his commentary. He says, they appear to be dying, but even if that appearance was false, because separation is not the cause of death, it is the cause of the highest perfection of life. So that we do not misunderstand that, oh, if I love Krishna, oh, it will make me die. Oh. So hearing all this, Krishna anxiously looked at Baladev to see what Baladev was going to say. He wanted to get his confirmation. Is this true that the cows are dying? He looked at Baladev, and Baladev was crying without control. Baladev said, why only the cows, your friends, the birds, the trees, the grass, the creepers and the bushes? They all dedicated themselves only to you. And now they are all wasting away. Do not ask any more news. I can see that if you are not kind to them, then Yamaraj will be kind to them. The Jamuna hardly has any water anymore, and Govardhan has become like a small hill. And the devotees are likely to leave any time in a burning forest fire. When Krishna heard that, he grabbed the neck of Balaram and began crying and crying. And then both Balaram and Krishna fell to the ground unconscious. This kind of unhappiness is unheard of in Dwarka. And everybody was completely horrified. All the queens started crying and screaming, and they were so distressed seeing Krishna now unconscious on the ground with Balaram. And all the Yadavas started coming. Uprasena heard the sound of so much crying going on. And he rushed to the place. And everybody came, and as soon as they saw Krishna like this, they also started to cry. So there was an ocean of people just crying and crying for Krishna. And then Lord Rama came. And when he saw this, he too lost his composure. And he began to cry. But then he brought his mind under control. And he began to think what should be done. And then he understood, he had an idea. And he made a gesture to Garuda, who was nearby, who was also completely overwhelmed. And he told Garuda, there is another Vrindavan in Dwarka. It is between the Raivata hill and the ocean. Vishvakarma made this beautiful garden, and in that garden there are replicas of all the residents of Vrindavan. Immediately, pick up Krishna and Balaram and take them there. So they picked up Krishna and Balaram and gently placed them on the back of Garuda, and Garuda immediately took them to that place. And Lord Brahma said, only Rohini can come. And everyone else had to go home. But the queens and Padmavati and Devaki couldn't bear to leave Krishna in that state. And so they were allowed to come on the condition that they hid themselves very carefully so Krishna could not see them. Then Balaram came to consciousness a little bit, and he was instructed what to do. And he brought Krishna very carefully in his arms and placed him on a bed in one of the cottages there at this Navavrindavan. And then they very carefully changed his clothes and dressed him in a beautiful yellow silk dhoti. They placed a flute in his waist, and they placed a peacock feather on his head. And they decorated him in the way that he is decorated in Vrindavan. Narada felt very ashamed about all of this, what had taken place. So he decided to hide himself and watch from up in the clouds. And Garuda went even higher up above the clouds, so he was invisible, but he made some shade so that he could serve Krishna in this way. And they put everything there, just like Krishna's Vrindavan days. And then Balaram started to wake up Krishna. He started shaking him. Brother, 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 get up, get up, get up. And he was shaking him, pulling him, hugging him. And gradually Krishna woke up. And as he woke up, Balaram filled the whole atmosphere with talk. And so he was sitting there with him. And he said to him, you have to get up now. I'll clean your face. We have to go to the forest. We're late today. Everything is late. Quickly, let's go. And as Krishna woke up, he looked around and he looked for the boys and everybody. And he saw there was Mother Yasoda and Nanda standing completely still. And Balaram said, oh, don't worry, Mother and Father, they're in a very ecstatic mood today. So he looked at them and he ran over and he held their hands. And then he opened his eyes very wide. And he said to his mother, Mother, I had an amazing dream last night. I dreamt that I killed wicked men. I made a city in the ocean. I did so many things. Oh, it was such a long dream. That is why I'm late this morning. Later I will tell you all the details of my dream. And Balaram said, we have to go now. And Krishna said to Balaram, if you don't think that it's actually, you don't, if you actually believe me, I will also tell you all the details of the dream that I had. I'll tell you on the way to the forest. And so they both offered respects to Yasoda and Nanda. And Rohini realized that Krishna was about to ask for something to eat. So she came in very quickly and said, oh, don't mind your mother. She said, here, have something. She got together something very quickly for him to eat. And then Krishna ran and he hugged his parents and he paid his respects. And then he took a little butter that was in Mother Yasoda's hand and he ate that. And then he left. And then as he was going out, he was going down the path, he saw the gopis were all standing there. And he ran to Srimati Radharani. And he said, why is it that you're not speaking to me? Are you busy with something? Did I offend you? And that is why you will not speak to me? And then he said, maybe you know what I dreamt last night, and that is why you will not speak to me. Of course, Radharani is standing there. And then he said to her, I left you. I went elsewhere. I married. I had foster sons and so on. But tonight at dusk, you will enjoy with me. And then he threw some flowers at her. And then when no one else was looking, he ran back and he embraced her and he kissed her. And then he ran off with the cowherd boys. Of course, there were no boys, but he ran off with Balaram to meet the cowherd boys. When Devaki, hiding in the bushes, saw Krishna like this in this beautiful form with the flute and the dhoti and the peacock feather, she lost all her composure and milk started to drip from her breasts. And Padmavati, when she saw Krishna like this, she started trying to rush out of the bushes and meet him. And they had to pull her back. Everyone was holding her back. And Satyabhama also was astonished seeing Krishna's beauty in this way. Then Krishna went with the cows, Govinda. He walked with the cows some distance, and as he was walking along, he saw in the distance the ocean. And he thought it was the Jamuna. So he called Balaram and the cows, let's go quickly, we have to go to the Jamuna. And so they came closer. As they came closer, they saw the roaring waves of the ocean. And Krishna could see Dwarka, big city with many thousands of palaces in the distance. And he turned to Balaram and he said, what is this? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? And Baladev said, you are my master, the Lord of Vaikuntha. You were asked by the demigods to descend and remove the burden of the earth. You should now continue your duty of protecting everyone. So Balaram wanted to now pacify Krishna from his sweet mood, to put aside the mood of Vrindavan and to return to his normal spirits. And Krishna's mood did change. He forgot his confusion. And as he recalled, oh, I'm the master of Dwarka. I have so many things that I have to do. And he became back to his normal state of mind. He looked. And he was dressed in this extraordinary way. A peacock feather and a flute and a golden, beautiful dhoti. And he asked, he laughed and he said, what is this? And then Balaram explained everything. He explained what had happened, Krishna's mood, how Lord Brahma had come. He had performed this activity to bring Krishna out of his state of separation from the Braj Gopis. And then Krishna was a little bit embarrassed. And Balaram took him down to the ocean and wiped him clean of any sand or any other dust and bathed him in the ocean. And then Garuda came and they both got on the back of Garuda and very secretly they went back to the palace so no one could see. Then once they came back to the palace, Uddhava asked the queens to prepare Krishna's lunch. And so they went to different places to do whatever they had to do. And after they had prepared his lunch, the queens, who were very shy, having seen this extraordinary experience, they hid behind the pillars. They were too shy to come up and see Krishna, but they were watching him from a distance. And Krishna said, "Where is my queen Satyavana?" And Uddhava said, "She's not here." "Why is she not here?" Uddhava said, "Well, when you took your excursion to Vrindavan, your special mood might have bewildered the unintelligent, but your queens were able to perceive it. They hid and they watched." And then Padmavati said, "O Devaki, devoid of any piety, O Rohini, unfortunate one, O wretched Satyabhama and all you unfortunate women, look, from now on you should all give up your pride and you should start worshipping and practicing austerities so you can become servants of these nomadic low-class women." Call them abhiras. Abhiras means that they're very low class. So this is what Padmavati said of the gopis. When Devaki heard this, she became angry. And she said to Padmavati, "Foolish woman, what is unusual here? Vasudeva and I, in our previous birth, underwent so many austerities to have the Lord as our son. But Yasoda and Nanda, they underwent austerities to please Lord Brahma, and they prayed that they could attain pure devotion. There was a difference between their prayers. Therefore, they were more intimately connected with Krishna than we. Krishna fulfilled our desire like 3 times. We wanted this 3 times, he gave us himself as his son. But Nanda and Yasoda, whose love was even more pure, he gave them a greater reward. Their paternal love is the highest, it's the topmost prema bhakti. Nanda has unconditional purity of love. He prayed to bless us that the Lord will appear and spread pure devotional service, which is the ultimate goal of life. He wanted that those who are born will easily be delivered from miserable materialistic life by accepting your devotional service. So Nanda wanted that Krishna would exhibit his beautiful childhood pastimes so that the world could hear them and recite them and regain a taste for love of Godhead." Devaki said, "By the blessings of Brahma, Nanda and Yasoda and their whole household became greater than us. Because of exceptional love, they raised the Lord as their child, and they cherished many wonderful activities, and therefore his special love for them is befitting and very pleasing to me." This was Devaki's statement. So the hearing of the praises of the glories of the residents of Vrindavan did not create any envy in the hearts of the residents of Dwarka, but rather it increased their eagerness to serve Krishna in their own relationship. This is a very important point, because in the material world, we become a little bit envious if somebody gets a bit ahead. We want to get ahead of them for our own benefit. But they're always thinking only in the mode of service. This is opposite to ourselves. And then Rukmini spoke up, and she also glorified the residents of Vrindavan, the gopis of Vrindavan, and their exceptional love for Krishna. And she said that, "We feel like maid servants of the gopis. They're so great. We do not envy their love, we glorify that love. And indirectly, she said, we also wish that we could have love like the gopis have. But Satyabhama, says the Buddha, Satyabhama entered into the chamber of jealous anger. She became angry. And she didn't agree. And she left there and went to her palace, and she hasn't come back. Now Satyabhama, you should understand, is expert in a particular skill. And that is that as part of her relationship with Krishna, she's very contrary, and Krishna likes this. Because then he has to pacify her, or he becomes angry with her, but the love increases. Rukmini is very peaceful. Rukmini won't argue at all. When Krishna was criticizing Rukmini and saying you should marry somebody else, Rukmini continued to fan him until his comments became so intolerable to her that she collapsed. She fainted. And when Krishna picked her up, he said, I thought you would argue with me. I was interested in it. But instead, you're so glorious. You just kept everything and you were so controlled and so brave. But Satyabhama knows how to bring out of Krishna certain moods. So she did not become envious and angry out of ego, but she didn't come. And Krishna became angry, and he said, bring immediately the daughter of that foolish king. So Satyabhama was called, and she immediately came, but she stayed very, very far back from Krishna. And Krishna was so angry, and he spoke in a very strong voice, and he said, oh, weak-minded Satyajiti. He's going to really rub it in, remind her of her heritage. You are angry at my intense love for the people of Braj, but don't you understand that I am ruled by their desires? If they wanted right now for me to come and give up all of you, I would do it in a second if they thought it was the best thing for me. And then he went on to quote how Lord Brahma had said, how he saw that Krishna would never be able to repay them for their love because he awarded Putana to become the nurse of Krishna. He's so kind when she came to kill him. So what could he do to pay back the gopis who gave every single thing they had to him? How could he ever, ever, ever repay them? And Krishna said like that, I am utterly indebted to them. Seeing them, when they see me, they become so dazed. They lose themselves. They lose all sense of everything when they see me. They're completely only thinking of me. And then he explained why he wouldn't go back. He explained that their pain would not be relieved by seeing him. Their hearts were so disturbed by separation that whatever I do for their happiness will double their grief. Their ecstasy is so deep that even when they see me, they feel separation from me. What to speak of when I'm not there? What can I do? He explained. He had a dilemma. He had a real difficulty. If I don't go back, they're suffering. If I do go back, they're suffering. Their love is so deep. And he explained that the only way, someone may say, if you go back, it will help. And he would say, yes, that may be true, but only if I go back for a long time. Because if I go for a short time, they'll be afraid. It will leave again. And they will go through the same ecstasy of separation. So Krishna said, it's impossible. I would have to go back for as long as what is needed. And that is impossible because they would never let me go. So I cannot take care of them. Their anxiety is part of their deep love for me. It is part of their existence. I cannot be cured. It cannot be cured. And then Sanatana Goswami, for our understanding, says that just like heat can cannot be taken from fire. It's the nature of that element. So there's no way that this ecstatic nature can be withdrawn from the residents of Vrindavan, because it has been imparted to them by Krishna's extraordinary mercy. Then Krishna explains something for our understanding, that this kind of pain, because for us it feels like, oh, you told me to transfer my happiness and security to Goloka Vrindavan, and they're suffering so much. Oh, wait, I think I'm better off if I stay here. I could have a little shantaras, be a little peaceful, do a little service. That would also be nice, but I don't think I could enter into this tumult that these gopis are feeling. It sounds terrible. But Krishna explains that in this intensity of their separation of love, at first it seems that they feel wretched. And then at last it transforms into an abundance of pleasure. It's pleasure that is born of pain, and it grows into the greatest pleasure. And Sanatana Goswami tells us that those who have not yet realized a natural attraction for Krishna, which may be ourselves, cannot understand this separation. And the only way we can begin to understand it is by faithfully hearing and offering service. This is what is required. So Krishna speaks more, and he speaks on. And at one point, Uddhava realizes that actually he's going into the same state as he was in before. So he quickly makes a gesture to the queens, and they all come forward, Satyabhama, everyone, they all come forward, and they start serving, and they're acting in a very bright, normal way, and Krishna keeps his spirit up. And then they feed Narada, they take prasadam together. But when they offer Narada to come and sit down, he doesn't want to come. He feels a bit embarrassed for what he has seen. He feels responsible that he has actually created an upset in Krishna's mind. But Krishna says, Narada, you are my dearest friend. You are always eager to please me. You are the best of those who relish transcendental emotions. So he was not at all upset. He understood that Narada had a plan. He wanted to find out the greatest devotees. So then, because he explains more to Narada about the residents of Vrindavan and the greatness of their love and his love for them, and they're speaking on this subject, Krishna says to Narada, now you should ask from me a blessing. What do you want? And Narada thinks very carefully, this is a special opportunity. And so he thinks, and he's very happy, and he says, may all the devotees in each place that I met devotees, on all the levels of devotees, may each devotee who has achieved perfection, please grant them all that no one of them will ever feel that they have enough mercy or enough devotion. So this, for better or worse, this applies to us also. We should never feel that way. If we have bhakti, we will not feel that way. And Krishna laughed and he said, what kind of a benediction is this? That is already the nature of my bhakti. It is already like that. Ask something else. So Narada thought again. He was planning how he was going to get his way, and he said, I wish to wander everywhere, chanting your names, your sweet names of Goloka, and distribute joy to everyone in this world. He wanted two benedictions, that's why he asked the way he did. So he asked the second benediction, and he said, if anyone, even once, comes in touch with these Braj pastimes and is convinced of their importance, may he or she be endowed with the power to worship your feet in pure love. And Krishna said, so be it. Then they took prasad. Narada was very happy. And then he left after this. He gave his respects and he left Dwarka. He returned to Prayag to tell the sages what he had learned on his wonderful journey. And when they heard what he had to say, they all gave up interest in everything else except in serving Krishna. And Maharaj Prakrit was telling this story to his mother just before his departure from this world. He tells his mother also, you, my dear mother, as well, you should always worship that cowherd boy and beg to become a servant of the gopis and immerse yourself in the Sankirtan of his names. If you do this, I promise by Krishna's mercy, you will be able to understand the Lord and his devotees. Now, Sanatana Goswami, who is writing this beautiful book, he also gives a benediction to the readers of this book. He says, we're getting so many blessings for having heard the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He says, anyone, for any reason, anyone, includes us, for any reason, no matter where we are on the path of bhakti, anyone who takes shelter of this narration with faith will very, very quickly obtain love for Sri Krishna. So this is the benediction of hearing the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. By hearing this work, inspired by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taught to Sanatana Goswami, he was all the principles of bhakti were given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself to Sanatana Goswami. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's purpose in coming into this world is to give the fallen jivas who are so fallen and so totally covered and so downtrodden in this age, to give them this most rarest jewel, an introduction to the mood and the minds and the love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna. So at this point I will end my recitation just to say that we're all very fortunate to have been here, myself, for having had the time and the reason to read this wonderful book and to prepare something to share with you. And yourselves also for having the opportunity to hear this. And I would suggest, because it's difficult to absorb so much in such a quick amount of time, short amount of time, that you also pick up this book sometime, it's readily available, and you read through it carefully. And pray that you also can enter, as we have today, deeper into the mysteries of love of Krishna. It is like an ocean, and you will never, ever, ever be unsatisfied if you can enter into that ocean. And I think perhaps, how are we doing? 5 minutes worth of kirtan, please. Thank you. Just so that we can digest, we should turn our heart, anything we have felt or anything we have experienced, we should put it into our kirtan. When we chant Krishna's names, we should chant them with some feeling. Whatever we feel, whether we feel good or bad, whether we feel nothing, we should express that to Krishna in calling his names, and Krishna will reciprocate. Thank you. Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadam today. In my dear Bhakti Dhanam Prasadam Dhiname, Namaste Sarasvati Devi Govardhan Pacharane, Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Prasgatya Vishatari. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai, Hari Bol.